Facebook, thank you for tuning in for our Live at 5 midway or Sunday night Bible study. I apologize that we are approximately 2.5 minutes behind schedule. I was having some technical difficulties and I thought, well, let's get those fixed before we go. That way I won't have to fix them during the video. So if you would do me a favor, two things. I am sharing this as we speak. I am moving my podium. I am multitasking. I am sharing this to the Wood Church Christ Facebook page. I would encourage you to share this to your timeline. That way other people can find it as well. I would like for more people to hear God's Word as possible. Live at 5 sermon series. And also, if you would grab your copy of God's Word and turn it over to the 6th chapter of Romans, verses 3 and 4, because that's what we will be studying here in literally just a half a second or so. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Make sure I've got everything turned off so it will not go crazy on me, because I'm crazy enough and I don't need any help with that. This is the 8th installment, and it's hard for me to believe that we are on the 8th installment of the Live at 5 series, and they're all archived online if you want to go back and catch some other ones. What we're doing Live at 5 today, as you can see from the screen beside me, we're going to be studying Overcoming the Flesh. Now, last year I had the privilege to go out to Hillsboro, Tennessee, right outside of Manchester, between Manchester and Viola, that part of the world, and Altamont, all that's in there. Brother Tom Harrison, I count as a good friend, a good brother in Christ. He's the minister for the Hillsboro Church of Christ. And they were doing a summer series, and their summer series was on Wednesday nights. And their theme for the entire year was Standing on the Promises. And so with his, depending on what week I picked, that determined my topic. So I looked it over, and the physical date of the calendar didn't matter, but I kind of hand chose this topic, and so my topic was Overcoming the Flesh. And I'll go ahead and tell you now, as soon as I saw this, in my mind, I already knew what I wanted to preach if I was allowed to live that long. Of course, the good Lord blessed me with that, and now we're here again. I believe this is the third time I've preached this. You can get all the notes, by the way, above me on the link above. All right, let's go into this. When we are standing on the promises, a promise, if it's a noun, is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. He promised, she promised. If you make a promise, verb, you assure someone that you definitely will do, you will give, or you arrange something, or you will undertake something, or you will declare it will happen. We're familiar with promises. If you say, well, I promise I was going to watch you tonight live at 5, here you are, you're making good on that promise. Or I promise I'm going to share this video, then you click that share link. Or I promise this. We're familiar with promises. So in one of the ways that we can stand on the promises of God, we need to overcome the flesh. And so that's what I want us to talk about this evening. And I've divided it up into 3 points, as most sermons are. But I'll tell you now, if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to maybe access the notes above, because I'm going to put up a lot of words on the slides that we're going to talk about. That way you don't have to write them all down. But also, point one is short, point three is short, and point two is really where the bulk of our lesson is. So with that, how do we overcome the flesh? By standing on the promises of God. Well, number one, you have to grow spiritually in Christ. And so, first and foremost, you need to get into Christ. Into is your preposition. You must be a Christian. And that's where we begin our lesson in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, where Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as he was raised," or as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, "even so we also should walk in a newness of life." Friends, first and foremost, if we want to grow spiritually in Christ so we can overcome the flesh, well, first off, you have to be in Christ. Galatians 3 and 27 says that you have put on Christ in baptism. We must get into Christ. Now, that's not saying, "I believe Jesus is the Son of God and you're saved," but that's hearing and believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. That is what you do. The book of Acts teaches that, and we've shown that in some of our lesson series online. If you need help with that, I'd love to spend some time in private Bible study, personal Bible study, and illustrate that just a little bit better for you. So we see first you must get into Christ. Well, then there becomes this great battle, if you will, a great fight between one side and another on milk versus meat. And so we find that our first point on this one is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Paul says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hither you were not able to bear it, neither yet not now are you able to bear it. We see the idea is, and this biblical teaching is mimicked off of what happens to a newborn baby. A newborn baby, the first day outside of the womb, you don't fix them a medium well steak and a side of fries and a corn cob, a corn on the cob and some cornbread and a Coca-Cola. No. What do you get? They get formula. They get milk. They get the basic essentials that they need, and they stay on milk for a good little while. But guess what? Somebody who is 85 years old, they're still not on milk the way that a newborn baby is. Now they're on meat. Once you progress, you eat meat. Well, Paul is saying, when I first started talking with you, you're on milk because you needed milk. And he says, now you should be on meat, but you're not on meat. He says, you're still on milk. Also, 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2. And the Hebrew writer delves into this as well, but Peter will suffice for us. 1 Peter 2 and 2. And make sure you're in 1 Peter and not 2 Peter, because if you're in 2 Peter, it makes no sense. Peter says, as newborn babes, desire ye the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Newborn babes, when you start out, when you're a baby, you are on the milk of the Word. These are what we often call the first principles, the foundation work, if you will. Who is Jesus? What did Jesus do? The basic themes of the books, basic theme of the Bible. And then as you grow on, you progress to the meatier topics, and you figure out, for instance, like what a word's propitiation mean, and you tie that one in, or you start looking up words in Greek, and you start digging deeper, getting better roots. So we see you start out on milk, but you need to grow on to the meat. And there's nothing wrong once you're on meat with going back and studying the milk, but don't stay there. Keep growing. And then one other thing under this point is in 2 Peter. You need to climb what I call the Christian ladder. Climbing the Christian ladder. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11. And I want you to know what Peter says. He says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Pause there. Add to your faith. Peter doesn't say, get faith. They already had faith. So he says, once you have faith, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Watch this. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Literally there, he is short-sighted. He cannot see a far distance away in the Greek. So he is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That's the second time we've seen that come up. Verse 5, give diligence. Here, verse 10, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see here that we start at faith and we grow, and you just imagine you're climbing steps or you're climbing a ladder, because we see if you have all these things, then you won't fall. If you are doing what you need to, you will not fall. So we grow spiritually in Christ. That's point number one this evening, live at 5. So number two, and this is where my mind originally went when I was assigned the topic, overcoming the flesh. I thought, aha, well, let's talk about the works of the flesh. And I like the Apostle Paul. I like him for many reasons. One is, in his writings, he likes to give you a list. So I'm going to put his entire list up here. Grab your Bible. We're going to go through, we're going to read every passage of Scripture, make no comments on them yet, and we will comment on the six passages all together once they have been read in their entirety. So we'll go in biblical order in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 32. Paul says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, only not only to do the same, but they have pleasure in them. Not only do they know it's wrong, brethren, they enjoy it." All right, let's go to our next one. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Keep in mind, we will comment on these after we've read them. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, neither fornicators, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you." All right. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. Let's see what Paul adds the second time he writes to those at Corinth. "For I fear, lest when I come, I should not find you such as I would. Lest I find of you that you would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and turmoils." All right, another list. We now go to Galatians chapter 5. Verses 19 through 21, and I won't lie, this was the first one I thought of because where we actually get the phrase works of the flesh. Paul says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Pretty self-explanatory list. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 5. Keep in mind, we'll comment on these all at once. Ephesians 5, verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." All right, one final list, and he tells this one to the young evangelist Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 8 through 11. "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." All right, that is a long laundry list of sins. And guess what I did? And when I originally wrote this lesson, it took me a little over an hour, and I went through and I wrote out every sin that Paul lists in these six, and I will say there are more lists in the Bible, but I figured six lists would be sufficient from Paul's writing. I went through, and I have numbered them, and I came up with some 50, let me just double check, should be 57 different sins that Paul defines in one list or another as works of the flesh. And so what we're going to do, and that's why I said point number two is the biggest of our 3 points, is because we're going to go down this list. And once again, all these are typed out in the notes that are available in the link that is above my head in the video description. But what we're going to do, and I'm not going to comment on every of them, because some of them seem just a little more obvious than others, and we'll get to those when we go there. But first off, abusers of themselves with mankind. These would be sodomites or homosexuals. They're called sodomites after the events of Genesis 19, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. But we are familiar with those of the homosexual persuasion. Those are those that they're abusers of themselves with mankind. That's the works of the flesh. An adulterer. Not going to spend much time on this, but adultery happens within the marriage union. Fornication, which we'll get to when we get alphabetically to the F's, is outside normally. But adulterers, okay, all uncleanness. Well, that kind of sums it up, as well as all unrighteousness. Backbiters, that is slander. Here's the way to remember it. Libel is written, slander is spoken. You mnemonic device, slander, spoken. These that have spoken things. And literally, backbiters means to wound. You speak something with the intent of wounding somebody else. Boasters, we're familiar with that one. Those that break their covenants, that they say they're going to do one thing and then they do something else. The covetous / covetous man, I have grouped similar words together, but that is one that sees something and makes a plan to take it. Debate, that's simply just a quarrel. That's the person that likes to pick an argument with people just for the fun of it and really, hopefully, to their demise. Deceit is acting illegally, acting shady. Those that defile themselves with mankind, that's akin to abusers of themselves with mankind. A little different, though. Those that are despiteful, those that are disobedient and disobedient to parents, that's works of the flesh. We're told, honor thy father and mother. That's a commandment. We are supposed to obey them, not disobey them. Those that are drunkards or have drunkenness. Well, we know what that is. That's when they consume alcohol. They become drunken. They became in a drunken state and they're not thinking properly. That's why 1 Peter 5:8, be ye sober and vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to be sober so we can be ready to fight our enemy at all times. All right, our list continues with effeminate. We're going to pause here. Effeminate. That's the word that's used in the Bible. Literally, in the Greek, it means soft. Soft, and it's found three times in the King James Version, normally referring almost always, actually always referring to clothing. The same word for soft, but your root there is, ignore the first two letters, and then you get feminine. I'm not knocking down females. But the root word of effeminate is female. Literally, it's womanlike. It's a man who wants to be a woman or wants to dress, wants to act, wants to take on the mannerisms, maybe even have procedures done where they think they've become a woman. Friends, that's what Paul's talking about. The effeminate, they have no place in heaven. Also, emulations, that means rivalry. That means jealousy. Now, here's what I find interesting about emulations. Twice emulations appears in the New Testament. Once it's good. Romans 11:4, provoke the Jews to jealousy. That's Paul's goal in Romans 11. When Paul says it in Galatians 5:20, he used it as bad. It's stirring jealousy among others. All right, envyings. Well, we're familiar with, I feel, envying. Extortioners, that would be swindlers, robbers, the unrighteous, those that are lewd. Filthiness, that's kind of an all-encompassing term, but we can think of things that are filthy. Feel filthy, shouldn't do it. Foolish talking. Well, we know the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, so it would be things like that. Also, just I akin that to talking just to be talking, not really making a point. Fornication / fornicators. All right, that one normally happens outside of a marriage relationship, but still it's having sex with somebody that you shouldn't be, just plain and simple. Full of envy. We're familiar with that one. That's different than envyings. This one, you are just all consumed. The next one, I don't get at all. Hatred or hatred of God. I don't know how you can literally hate God, but there are people who wake up and see everything that God has created, and they hate their day because they realize that God exists, and therefore, if He exists, His rules exist, and that corrupts their lifestyle. Heresies, that is speaking. You heard it say, it's a hearsay. Basically, same thing. Idolatry or idolaters, that's people that are bowing down, worshiping an idol. And innovators of evil things, those are people where they spend their whole life trying to think up of wicked things. They're not trying to help mankind or their fellow brother, but they're trying to devise maybe things that they know will cause people to sin or just evil things in general. Jesting there, that means you're not serious. Now, if anybody knows me, knows I like to cut up, but also realize there is a time and a place to be serious. There's a time and a place where you can cut up a little bit. But these jesters, that you think of a court jester, they basically, it's their job to be serious all the time, whether the situation calls for it or not. Lasciviousness is that next one on the list. That's 28 if you're keeping track. And that's one that most people skip over, either A, because they can't pronounce it, lasciviousness, or B, they skip over it because it cramps their lifestyle. Literally, it means unbridled lust, or to raise a disturbance. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12:21, Paul says this is something to be repented of. The same Greek word is found in Romans 13:13, which means wantonness. It's translated there as wantonness, filthy words, or unchaste movements of the body. Peter mentions it 4 times in his two letters. Peter mentions how we don't need to have lascivious movements. That's dancing. Unchaste movements of the body. You know, it's been said, let's see, let me get the quote right. Jim Boyd, my grandfather-in-law, is a staunch. Go on his website, aburningfire.net, and look up his sermon on lasciviousness. It's the best one I've ever heard, and I've heard it live and I've heard it recorded. And somebody had asked him to the extent of, well, don't you think my daughter should dance or whatever because she's so graceful? And he said, I'd rather her walk into hell looking like a cow than dance, or walk into heaven looking like a cow than dance gracefully into hell. Friends, that's not me being rude. That's not me trying to harp on somebody's lifestyle. But the Bible makes it a point. Say, don't have these unchaste movements of the body. That's a work of the flesh, and that's something that needs to be repented of. Let's keep going. Lawlessness, or lawless, those that have no regard for law. A liar, one that doesn't tell the truth. The maliciousness, that's full of malice. That's someone who is intentionally harmful or spiteful. Malignity is also malice, but that's a disposition to do evil. You wake up, put your feet on the floor, and you want to do evil. Manslayers. Pretty self-explanatory, right? They kill men. Men stealers, somebody that steals men. Now, murderers slash of fathers slash of mothers, that's someone that's a murderer. We see a perjured person. That means to render oneself guilty of swearing falsely. That's more of in a courtroom setting, or something of the like. We see profane, avoid profane wives, fables, and things like that. Those that are proud, those that boast, revelers, revelings, they enjoy oneself in a lively and noisy way. It's okay with having an enjoyable time, but these are the ones that always take it over the top. Seditions, that's divisions. Sinners, that's kind of all-encompassing as well. Strife, that's fighting amongst the two. Swellings is your next one. Those are conceits. Thieves, those that steal. Tumults, well, that's just causing a ruckus, basically. Uncleanness slash the unclean person, we're familiar with that. Unholy, something that is not holy. Ungodly, something that is not godly. Unmerciful, one that does not show mercy. Variance, this is quarreling, this is wrangling. Whispers, to whisper or to slander, so to speak something, usually behind somebody's back. Whoremongers, whores, as they're called today, harlots, those that are usually paid for a sexual favor, those that make a livelihood out of that. Wickedness, that's something that's contrary to goodness. Witchcraft, well, we're familiar with that, I believe. Without natural affection, they don't go the way man's supposed to, because God has planned it, one man, one woman for life. But sometimes they'll change the natural affection, those in Rome did, and they do man and man, woman and woman, one man, three women. I mean, that's what they see is all right. They're without natural affection, and they're without understanding as well. These are people that have no concept. I don't know why you'd want to do it the opposite way of what God has said, but there are people who think it's the best thing in the world, and then wrath, that is anger as well. Now, two things I want you to note. Galatians 5:21 says, these shall not inherit the kingdom. This is not Justin Reed being ugly. This is Justin Reed relaying what God has said in His Word. They shall not inherit the kingdom. And if you think this list is bad, when John writes a list by inspiration in Revelation 21 verse 8, he concludes it by saying, and all liars. So you think, well, maybe I'll just tell a little white lie, but at least I didn't go out and commit adultery, or at least I didn't go kill somebody. Well, when John writes, he equates it the same, because all sins are equal in God's eyes. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is going against what God has said. So there's your list of sins, once again, there in the notes. So here's the question. First, you get into Christ. Now we've looked at the works of flesh. Question three, then. How shall we overcome? Because the whole topic of the lesson is overcoming the flesh. Well, I'm glad you asked. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And we were here in our lesson text this morning in 1 Corinthians 6. And I said we would comment on it more tonight. So look here in verse 11. Paul says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, sanctified, justified in the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And such, underline it, were. What is were? Past tense. He didn't say, and you're still a fornicator, and you're still effeminate, and you're still an adulterer, and you're still an idolater. No. Paul said, you used to be an adulterer, but now you're washed, sanctified, justified. You used to be effeminate, but now you're washed, sanctified, justified. Paul says it's past tense. That means they're no longer in that state. They overcame how? Through Jesus Christ. What else do we do? Well, let's continue our notes there in Galatians 5. We read 19 through 21. That's the works of the flesh. So how do we overcome? Well, go back to Galatians 5 with me and start in verse 22. We need to cultivate good fruits. Now, friends, I want to tell you something. You may have come across this knowledge, may not. Whenever you come to the conjunction but in the Bible, B-U-T, conjunction joins two thoughts, and, for, but. These are just some of them yet. But means change of story. So Galatians 5, 19 through 21, these are the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Paul says, against such there is no law. So we need to cultivate good fruits. Now, this is a continual thing. You don't go out and plant the seed of a good fruit once and then sit back for 20 years and say, well, I don't know why that tree never produced. It never produced because you never cultivated it. We need to cultivate good fruit. Also, Romans 12, 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil. Have firm roots. Sorry, I'm a point ahead. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Paul says, I am so amazed, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of the gospel of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there would be some that would trouble you and pervert the gospel. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so now I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Paul says, you need to have firm roots. Paul was amazed that he hadn't been removed from those in Galatia for too long, but false teachers had come in, taught them error, and those in Galatia had just given up on the truth because they didn't have firm roots. So cultivate those good fruits. Have firm roots. And then Romans 12, 21, where I was going, because I switched up the order in my notes here. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The choice is ours. I'm going to put an image here on the screen, and you don't have to say out loud because I won't hear you, but I want you to think about what is the first word that you see here in this image. I'll give you a second. What do you see? Do you see the word evil with an E, a V, an I, and an L? Or did you see the word good? Now, evil are the white letters. Good are the black letters. Why? I love this image. Why are we using it? Because the choice is yours. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do you want to focus on the evil part or the good part? Because that's a choice I have to make every day of my life, just as it's a choice that you have to make every day of your life as well. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. As we close out here, I want to relay unto you the story of the two wolves. And in fact, you may have heard this story. If you've heard me preach, you've probably heard me use this story. There was a Cherokee grandfather was teaching his grandson about life. And he said, "A fight is going on inside of me. It is a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." He continued and said, "The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." And then he leaned into the grandson and he said, "The same fight is going on inside of you and inside of every other person as well." And the grandson thought about it for a minute and he asked his grandfather, he said, "Which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee grandfather replied, "It's the one you feed." What did Paul say in Galatians 5:19-21? "The works of the flesh, these will not inherit eternal life, but the fruit of the Spirit, that's how you get eternal life." So the choice is yours. Are you going to be overcome with evil, or are you going to overcome evil with good? Now, I will tell you, some days will be easier than others. But if we want to go to heaven, and I mean this, and I hope you take it sincerely, if you really want to go to heaven, you will let nothing on this earth stand in your way of making it there. If you don't really want to go to heaven and you just say it because those around you or maybe those in your family say it, it may not take a whole lot to get you derailed from living this Christian life. But friends, if you truly want to go to heaven, nothing on this earth can keep you from there. Now, if you want a copy of these notes, here's the link to it. I've also posted it in the video description. You can just Google my name, Justin Reed. Throw in the word Bible there at the end. Click on the page that says Bible Resources, usually the first one. These notes are found under the sermon section, more specifically in the second column under the Hillsboro Summer Series, Overcoming the Flesh, Standing on the Promises. Let me quickly plug these and I will get on out of here so you can join another study if you want to. I've enjoyed having you with me. I hope you have enjoyed this lesson. Please share it with others because I don't know too many people that preach a list with all those sins. A lot of people just ignore, maybe because they like to do them or they have somebody in their life that does them. But if God's Word said not to do it, then it's my job to tell you and my job to live it that we're not supposed to do it. Midweek Bible study. We will meet back at 6:30 Wednesday. We will start about 2 minutes early to give everybody time to get logged on and give me time to share the video where it needs to go. We started last week a study on Noah. We looked at the first 5 chapters of Genesis as an introduction to Noah. And then we spent the 6th chapter looking at getting on the ark. Now, this week, if the Lord permits us to live till Wednesday, we will talk about being on the ark for all that time, the flood, and also salvation. That's part 2 of 3 of Noah. Then also Thursday night, 6:30, join my father-in-law Bill Boyd and I. We will continue our study in Matthew 17. Let me leave you with some words of encouragement from Numbers chapter 6. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. And please continue to pray. Thank you for watching.